You've got something of a double act today. Although my helper's run off. He's not here to defend himself. The verse I perhaps are going to start with is, be alert. It's 1 Peter 5:8. You could put it up there on the message, because the message is slightly more, modern. But I'll read the NIV, and perhaps we'll read, and I'll look at the message version. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Or, keep a cool head, stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. See? That's different, but it's a saying the same thing, you see. Some people sometimes say, oh, there's different Bibles. But you see, it's saying the same message, but it's just using slightly different language, but it's still saying the same thing. And, Satan looks at ways to discredit or nullify who you are. He wants to bring you to zero. He is a liar and a thief. He uses all sorts of things to bring you down. People, suggestions, all sorts of philosophies, ideas, to discredit, to confuse, to silence, to nullify believers, or anybody really. So he wants to make you feel like a zero or a pointless being. He wants to make you feel ineffective. I bet we've all felt ineffective. Yeah, Satan would like to do that. He'd like to make you feel, oh, you're not much use, you're ineffective. He wants to make you feel that your story, because you all have a story, did you know that? You all have a story. Sometimes in church language you call it a testimony. But you all have a story of where you got to where you are. And he would like to make you feel, well, I've got, my story is of no use, or my story is ineffective. I can't use my story. Who am I to share my story? But your story is your story. And who can argue with your story? Do you understand? Do you see that? If I tell my story, someone else can't come along and say, I don't believe your story, because that's my life. Unless you're lying, of course, but, that is your story. That's really important, is your story. And who he'd like to bring down, particularly, are high-profile Christians. Because we look to them, don't we? We look up to some of these high-profile Christians who have a lot of influence. So we're going to look at a few things that have happened. And one of these, he's probably not so in the media nowadays, but someone we all know is someone like Cliff Richard. Yeah, so he's from sort of the past a bit more. And he was a pop star in his day. Still going. But he, in his day, when he was young, he was like, he was kind of a heartthrob in his day. Yeah? Pardon? Okay, for a certain age he still is, but let's go back to when he was, in his 20s. He was the heartthrob of the time, or one of the heartthrobs of the time. And, there's an image that these pop singers were to portray. Oh dear, he became a Christian, and that wasn't the image that the industry really wanted, did they? They didn't want him. They liked a bit of a rebel, a bit of a wild guy. And this wild guy suddenly becomes a Christian. That wasn't so good. And the industry perhaps sidelined him slightly. I mean, he did well for himself, didn't he? Carried on. But recently, because Satan would love to bring him down. And recently, there were accusations made against him. So someone made an accusation. And I haven't really looked into it, but from what I gather, there was a police raid. Oh, and guess what? The TV cameras were invited along. Why, they don't normally do that, do they? Who else famous have you seen being raided with the BBC there or ITV, whoever, filming a raid on a famous person? Why do they do that? Well, they'd love to discredit him. They perhaps don't even realise what they're wanting. They think they want a story, but actually, Satan would love to make him a big fat zero. And has to go, ah yeah, what a failure. See? So he was accused of wrongdoing and the TV cameras there, and he went through a long time of stress worrying about a court case that he was found innocent. Never got to court. That's what I mean. It was all fabricated. But what did it do for him? It wasn't good, was it? And so this is what Satan would like to do. He'd like to cause you grief or make the story zero. And Ed is going to come along and help me out here. He's got a little bit. Has he got your paper there?
Yeah,
thanks, Ed. We're going to work together here.
Yeah, I was just going to say a couple of other examples. One was Israel Folau. I don't know if many people know Israel Folau. He's a rugby player who from Australia, probably the best in Australia. I'm one of the best in the world, really. He made a post, basically, and I'll just read it out. It says, I mean, it was quite a brash post. It's not the kind of thing I'd probably do, but he made a post saying, "Warning, drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, idolaters, hell awaits you. Repent, only Jesus saves." So he.
Can I just cut in there?
Yeah.
He's probably taken it from Corinthians here, and possibly a bit of Revelations. And what the Bible actually says here is, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So there was salvation for anyone. Carry on, Ed.
And so for that post that he put on Instagram, Rugby Australia, they terminated his contract with the club that he was with, and he's lost all his sponsorship deals. So basically his life's been ruined because of that. And they tried, they suggested, he said, "Can we try and settle this?" Or someone suggested to try and settle it just sort of between themselves and things like that. But the Rugby Australia said no, and so now he's having to do a court case to try and sort of get compensation for what he's lost. So just one post that he's put, he's lost his whole life, and it's just sort of they've used that to and they're saying that he's using it out of hate, and that's not really the case. Anyway, I'll go on to the next. So the next one. The next one is Kanye West. Probably quite a few people know Kanye West, I would have thought. But yeah, he's quite an outspoken character. I'd say he's had quite a wild life, you know. He's quite a big famous pop star. Probably didn't really care much about how he was living before. But yeah, we just wanted to show a song to show sort of what he's sort of doing at the moment. So he's made an album called Jesus is King. That's just one of the songs. You can look it up. There's loads of them. So what I was going to say next is, because before, you know, he had quite a wild life, and And in 2007, he lost his mum. And he sort of, I think he went through quite a rough patch and sort of had a sort of a bad mental state, a sort of bit of mental health problems. And because he sort of mentioned that in the past, now with him making this album, people just blame it on mental health and say they just completely discredit him and say, oh yeah, he's just losing his mind, he's just desperate. It's not actually him. There's a couple things I was going to say there.
So now this is that's a current ongoing story there. Some of these are current and ongoing, and I would like to just look at a story from the Bible that perhaps sort of ties in a little bit with this kind of thing. And it goes back to way back, and it concerns a country that Barman comes from. What is currently now Iran, Persia. And Barman would know King Xerxes. Perhaps you, that's your history. And you know, if you ever visit Iran, they sell these little characters of some of these famous kings that basically ruled the world at the time. So King Xerxes. So I'm going to look in Esther at a little story there and just bring a few pointers out of it. And it says in Esther 3, it says, after these events, King Xerxes honoured, so he's the king of the Persian Empire at the time. They had various kings. Honoured Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honour higher than that of all the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honour to Haman. So they just gave him his respects. For the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai, now he was a Jew, they were taken captive, so they were like slave people living amongst the provinces of Persia. But Mordecai was a kind of an important official in Xerxes' government, but he didn't obviously like Haman. See? I would say Haman must have been something of a proud, self-seeking character. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honour. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why do you disobey the king's command? Day after day, what I think is he didn't go into the palace and do his bow down. I think he just stayed away so he didn't have to have confrontation. See, I think that's how I see it. Day after day, they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore, they told Haman, see, because Haman hadn't even noticed, so he obviously hadn't gone in and shown his respects. He had just stayed away, I think. To see whether Mordecai's behaviour would be tolerated, for he told them he was a Jew. So obviously he didn't like the Jews as well, this Haman. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honour, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. So he put a plot together to destroy all these people. And he sort of talked the king into signing a deal. On this certain day, all the locals could rise up and kill the Jews and take all their property. Well, if you live near them, they probably thought, that's not a bad idea, because now I can go in, take all their stuff and kill them, and it's legally binding. And we can do it, it's legal. And so the king wrote a law saying, on this date you can all go out and kill the Jews and take their stuff, and hey ho, it's justified. So the Jews now had this date that they could look forward to, that they were all going to be massacred. And so they put on sackcloth. They prayed and they fasted. The point being that that's what we can do. We can pray, we can fast. We can think about some of these people that we've just talked about. Pray for them is really the point of what I'd like to say. Some of these characters that we hear about, you know, sometimes we might say, oh, if only we had an Apostle Paul this day, someone in a high profile who got converted, he would change. He could have such an impact on people. And we've heard about some, like, especially this Kanye West. We've heard about him. And he could have an impact. Well, some will write him off, he's going to have a mental. It's not quite how we think. People can write them off. Anyway. So what happens? So they write this law to kill the Jews. And Haman goes about planning his destruction of them. Now, the queen of Persia, do you know who she is? She's Esther. She's a Jew. And Mordecai is a kind of, I think, like an uncle. He's like the dad that brought her up, you know. So, and she sees Mordecai out. She hears about him, that he's outside the palace. He wouldn't be allowed in the palace in sackcloth. And she's a bit distressed, and she sends him a set of nice clothes to put on. She doesn't know what the reason is at this point. She's sort of kept away from it all. And Mordecai says, I can't put on nice clothes at this time. This is a dreadful time. He says, all your people are going to be killed. How can I just be dressed up as if nothing's going to happen? It's going to happen. You're going to die. And he says to Esther, I'll tell you what, don't think that because you're in the palace you're going to get away with it, because you're a Jew too, and it'll happen to you somewhere along the way. And she has to make a decision, because Mordecai says to her, go and have a word with the king. Go and have a word with the king about this whole situation. And her first position is, I haven't seen the king for a month. And if I go in to see the king, do you know what the rule is in the palace? If I go in uninvited to see the king, it's a death penalty. It's death penalty if I go in not being invited to see the king. She says, I don't know if I want to risk it. That's her first. But she thinks, and she says, but I'll do. Mordecai says these words. Let's have a look if I've got them here. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. That's good faith, isn't it? Deliverance will come, but this is possibly your chance. And if you don't take it, someone else will have that glory. Will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. So you'll disappear. You will be not mentioned. And who knows? But that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. God may have brought you, he doesn't say it as definite, God may have raised you up as a little orphan girl to be queen of the greatest empire in the world at the time, so that you can save your people. But she has to take the gamble then. Do I risk my life for my people? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in the town, Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days or night or day. You know, it's a full-on fast. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. And she does it. She actually... You'll have to read the rest of the story to find out what happens. Yeah? Shall I tell you what happened? You could go and read it for yourself. You can watch a video. She goes in towards the king, and when she enters into the room, it's that moment where her heart must have been pounding, because if he had said, take her away, kill her. But he says, Esther, come in. He invites her in. And the only way he can do it, he has his gold scepter. He can holds it out, and that's your life saved. And he holds out the scepter, and she comes in. And in the story, what was told is that Mordecai, at some point in the past, has uncovered a plot to kill the king. And he reports this, but he's never honoured. And so one night the king is disturbed in his sleep, and he says, well, bring out some of the scrolls of our history. I want to read some of the stuff that's happened. And they bring out this very story that Mordecai uncovers a plot. And he's like, well, who is this character? Has he ever been honoured? And they say, no, sir, he hasn't. Oh, gosh, this is bad. Someone's uncovered a plot and he's never been honoured. So he says, so he asks Haman, this bad guy, Haman, what do you think should happen to someone who the king wants to honour and raise up and make a fuss of? And Haman thinks he's talking about himself, and he's like, yes, well, I think he should put a royal robe on him, put all the royal stuff on him, have him paraded through the streets, have a town crier shouting out, this is what happens to someone who is honoured by the king. And he's like, he thinks it's going to be him, so he sort of gives it the full works. And he goes, oh, good. Right, Mordecai needs to be honoured like this. And Haman's like, oh, my word. That's my enemy. He's building a gallows to hang him. And he's like, oh, my. And he seizes the beginning of his own downfall. And also at the same time, Esther has a banquet for the king and all his officials and making a big fuss, and the king's loving it. And the king's like, what can I do for you? This whole plot all unravels or comes together in that banquet. And what we see at the very end is Haman throwing himself on Esther for mercy while the king's not looking. And then the king sees him, Haman, falling on Esther. And he's like, how dare you touch the queen? Take him away. They chucked the blanket over his head so he could not be seen anymore, and marched him out to the death penalty. But it's a great story, so it'll make you cry. It always does me. But what you notice in there, she was raised up for such a time as this. Mordecai, you know, it's funny really, because in a way you could say he didn't need to bow. I mean, there wasn't any... He could have bowed down. He could have just honoured that guy. I don't know why he didn't. It doesn't say why he didn't, I don't think. He obviously knew that there was something not right about this guy, Haman. And there was something about his character that he didn't like, and he wouldn't do it. But because you could say, well, all this fuss was because Mordecai's fault, because he didn't pay respects. But actually, there was a bigger issue somewhere back there that would have perhaps unraveled some other way. But Esther and Mordecai saved the nation. They have a feast in Israel, I think, that remembers this. But it's a lovely story. But what do they do in the time of crisis? They fast and pray. They remember. They pray to God. And I think it's really interesting, because Daniel also was picked up for his praying. But praying was so important. So important. It's like your last resort. What can you do? And I think for some of these people that are high profile, we might not post something like Israel Folau. Perhaps it's not necessary. I don't know. I don't want to say that, because maybe he was prompted to by God. I'm not going to judge him one way or the other. But we must pray for them, because he's a Christian that's done this thing, and he's landed himself in a lot of hot water. And pray for this singer who, you know, has lived a pretty bad or dodgy life, that's what I can say, that he's not brought down by Satan, because Satan would like to nullify them. And these characters that Ed's mentioned to us, I don't know. I've heard of Israel Folau, but I don't know much about this other one. But obviously has a big impact on young people. And so, you know, we want to pray that his influence, and the album he's produced is a very Christian album, actually, very gospel. It's really quite unusual, because someone might convert and they just write something like, yeah, God looks after me, or something sort of vague. But he's really, if you listen to those words, they are quite direct. We might just finish with it once more. So I'm going to finish with, and I'll just pray. And it's good for us to remember these high profile people. And we've just mentioned a couple, but there's probably lots of others that, you know, Satan wants to destroy us, and he wants to nullify our testimonies. And we all have a story. Remember, you all have a story to tell. And so you can use your story, because nobody can say your story isn't your story. But some of these people, they've got a story, and they try and say it, but Satan wants to really bring them down, because they're high profile. Father, as we have talked today, Lord, and we think of these always people through the history that have tried to make a stand on your behalf and for your purposes and for your glory. And we think of those now that the little person that we don't even know about, that are in prison because of maybe something they've said or because of something they believe. And we think about some of these other more famous people that have to live with eyes always watching and wanting to bring them down, Lord. We pray for your protection over them. We pray that you give them wisdom in the things they say and do, and in the help that they can call upon, Lord. And for the testimony and witness that they have, Lord, that we know that the enemy will come against them, Lord, but we know you are stronger, Lord. So we pray for your strength and your deliverance and your perseverance for those that we've mentioned today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.